Right, you may be seated. We welcome to Lake Country Bible Church this morning, and just thrilled to see everybody here. I think we've got a couple of people on the road, and we just need to be keeping everybody in our prayers. And big welcome to all that are here. We just love you. Everybody loves each other, and we love visitors. Do we have any visitors this morning? If I don't think we do, but just in case, if you are looking at that pouch in the chair in front of you, there should be a little pouch and an envelope in that envelope and have a form to fill out. And if you fill that form out and put it in the basket on the way out the door, then let us know a little about yourselves. We sure would appreciate that. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to go first to announcements, and I'm going to, those of you that read the announcements in the bulletin, I'm going to skip down to next to the last one, the Christmas shoebox first. Workday was a success yesterday, thanks to all who came. We are literally Christ's hand and feet through the effort. I have a note from Jean Fox, and she asked me to read this, so I'm going to read her words. Operation Christmas Child, also known as the Shoebox Ministry to the children from all around the world, gives the good news of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yesterday, a group from our church packed 42 boxes. We now have three more back there, so it's 45, with gifts given by many of you. The cost of sending these boxes is $10 per box. You all can help by contributing to this cause by sending a check in an envelope found in a brochure on the table in the foyer, or you can contribute online. If you would still like to just fill a box, they are stacked on the table by the entrance. The deadline for filled boxes is next Sunday. Prayer meeting. Every Sunday, 9 o'clock in the room back here, everyone is welcome. The women's Bible study is Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler is leading a study in the book of 1 Samuel. All women are welcome. Wednesday night, Bible service, prayer service, Bible study at 6 o'clock p.m. Everybody is welcome. Water baptism is coming soon. Anyone interested in being baptized, please see the pastor. And then last but not the least, Christmas choir, we need you. Brad's heading this up, and we're going to meet right after the church service for a short practice. And talk to Brad. Everybody would be welcome, of course, to that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are a worthy Lord to receive glory and honor and praise, for you created all things. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, for the provisions you made for us, for your love, your patience with us. And Father, we are shocked by what has taken place in Israel and the pain and suffering of the people there. And it is still going on. And Father, we pray for those people. We pray also for Freddie Cole, our friend and our missionary and his family. Freddie has cancer, and he is still continuing to give messages over the internet. Please see those. But we pray, Father, for Freddie Coyle and his family. We pray for Mike McFarland, who teaches and preaches today. We, of course, pray for the Shoebox Ministry. It's been such a blessing to many of the young people around the world, the children who hear the word and the message of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's a sinful world, Father, and we are continuing to be shocked by the events and by the things that happen in this world, like Israel, Maui, DePaul, who has just had a hurricane that's caused the loss of life. We pray, Father, for Lake Country Bible Church. We pray for its leadership. We pray for the members of the congregation, the visitors, the people that come. We pray for their families, that when we go about our tasks day to day, we all realize that in all things, we pray that your will be done, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is Daniel chapter 5, Daniel chapter 5, verse 13 through 29, Daniel chapter 5, verse 13 through 29. Then Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom my king, my father, brought out of Jewry? I have heard of thee, that the Spirit of gods is in thee, and that the light understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing, and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High gods gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And before the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would show, and whom he would be kept alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he would put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, thou hast humbled thine heart through thy knowest all this. Thou hast not humbled his heart through all of, thou knowest all of this, but hast lifted thyself up against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of this house before thee, and thou, thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified? Then there was part of the land sent from him, and his writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mean, tekel, up, arshin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mean, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel in scarlet and put chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom.
Testing one. That good? Appreciate you being here this morning, looking out. I see some familiar faces, and boy, it's good to be among fellow believers and friends this morning. We have some things coming up I want to make you aware of. We finally have some dates. We have a real opportunity, and I would really appreciate if you would promote this as much as you can, one-on-one, inviting friends to come. We have a couple coming, a man, wife, and his two daughters. And he is very well known among the gospel music family. His name is Channing Ellerton. He used to play piano for the Kingsmen, and he's also played for several other well-known groups. I believe the Lefevers, and Nancy could probably tell you better than I could, but they're coming to sort of initiate a whole new family ministry by being in our church for the first time in this new endeavor that they have. This is the Ellerton family. They will be with us on December the 3rd. And so please be sure and be here and bring as many people as you can, and we'll have a good time around that kind of fellowship. We became close friends just quite by accident. They're very easy people to get to know, and precious, and they're stand for the Lord. He came years ago just out of the blue. He and I got to know one another, and he came and sang in a little church over here outside of Alba. And I think there were all of five people there that night. And he played the piano and sang, and we just had a great time. And he said that that's the best time that he's ever had on the road. Now, what we want to do is make December the 3rd the best time that he's ever had on the road after he's here. Our baptismal service, we have a date for that will be December the 9th. So if you have never been water baptized or you want to be water baptized, we'll be glad to do that. It's going to be the 9th of December. And we will be traveling over to Canton to a pastor friend's church of mine. And we will use his baptistry and just have a good time around fellowshipping around the Lord and over all that he's done for us. So that is going to be on the 9th of December. So as far as all of the commercials, that's all I have this morning. Sunday school teacher was teaching the Ten Commandments one time in her Sunday school class, and to her 5- and 6-year-old. That's the class that she had. And after explaining the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" And one little boy shouted out loud, "Thou shalt not kill your brother or sister." And so I guess that's the way that it is. By the way, if you look around and you see some folks that used to be with us in fellowship and worship on a fairly regular basis, but you've not seen them in a while, give them a call and encourage them. I know there's been times in my life where I have slipped away from the urgency of being in church on Sunday and hearing a good message, and it's hard to get back in the routine, if you would, of that. So if you would, give them a call and invite them, encourage them to come back and be with us. This morning, we are going to be continuing our study in the book of Daniel. And we find, as we look into this study, some things that we can identify with. And so to begin with, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for grace. We thank you for your word that you've preserved for us down through the years. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who indwells us and who illuminates your word that we might understand, and Father, that we might find the truths there that are applicable in our lives, and Father, make that application. Thank you for Christ, who even at this time, Father, who is on your right hand making intercession for us. And Father, we come and we remember those in our family, church family, that are not feeling well, that are under the weather, who have family members who were taken to the hospital this morning. The reason they're not here this morning, we pray, Father, that you would minister health and healing and strength and encouragement, Father, to them and to their families also. Father, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we continue our study in the book of Daniel, we find that the first six chapters in the book of Daniel are historical in nature. They go back and we recount the history of Daniel. And we find in the history of the Jewish people that were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And we'll find as we move on towards the end of the book of Daniel, we'll find that these passages, the last six chapters, deal with the prophetical area that we find in the book of Daniel. What's coming in the future? We'll find some of those things very, very, very interesting. As we continue to look at the book of Daniel, we come to understand that Belshazzar is the one that is being focused on here in the fifth chapter of Daniel. Now, Belshazzar was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, some 80 or 90 years after Nebuchadnezzar was on the throne. We find Belshazzar, his grandson, was on the throne. We find as we continue to look that the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar was married, and she then brought into throne the reign of Belshazzar. He was born to this couple, this daughter of his father. And so, Father, we find Belshazzar and his father, Nebuchadnezzar, reigned concurrently. We'll find here, as we continue to look, that Belshazzar was supposedly safe between or behind the walls of Babylon as he threw a great party. We looked at this last time we were here and gathered together. We find in Daniel chapter 5, there are some things, as we look at these following verses in this chapter, some things that God has endeavored to impress upon Belshazzar. And so we find in Daniel 5, verse 5, in the same hour came forth these fingers, a great feast that he had, lots of food to eat, lots of people there, important people under his reign, helped him govern. They were there, they ate, they drank. They just made fools of themselves, as normally is the case when there's alcohol present. We find that God was not pleased with that. Now, as we look at this and take into consideration the circumstances of this feast. This was a feast that Belshazzar threw for himself, for his own benefit, for his own, if you would, status, for his own glory, for his own honor. And we find that God's response to that was not really all that favorable, because he wrote on the wall. Now, I'm sure that after imbibing as much alcohol as they did at this feast, there were probably some people there who rubbed their eyes and got out the napkin and wiped their eyes and began to look to see if actually what they saw was really what they saw. Well, sometimes I understand, I don't know, I've not been in that situation before, but inebriation, sometimes I'm told that people see things that really aren't there. And these guests probably did the same thing. And we find that God responded to the ego building that Belshazzar was trying to accomplish in this great feast. We find in verse 6, then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. You see, the king had a reaction to God's response. God's response wrote on the wall. The king's response was his countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him. We find in verse 7 that the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers. He was frightened. And so this was the scene that we began to pick up and put together this latter part of chapter 5. Verse 6, then came in all the king's wise men, and they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. You see here, we find God working in Belshazzar's life because of Belshazzar's inobedience to the word of God. You see, Nebuchadnezzar had brought many, he brought all of the vessels of worship that the Jews used in the temple when he overran Israel and brought back those captives, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, years before. He brought those out of where he had them stored to make an impression, to show who he was, how strong he was, what he could get away with as king, who he was. And God had a response to that. But you know what? The men that Belshazzar brought in before him, the men could not tell him what the handwriting on the wall was and what it meant. And then we find Belshazzar, he was greatly troubled in verse 9. Verse 10, the mother of Belshazzar was brought in, and she reasoned with Belshazzar, and she reminded him of the man, Daniel, that had been in captivity there, lo, these many years. And she said, you ought to bring him in. I'm sure that he could answer. I'm paraphrasing. I'm sure that he could answer what questions that you have. We find in verse 11 that Belshazzar was remembered the days of his reign. And we find that the king was reminded also that Daniel was able to give Nebuchadnezzar the meaning of his dreams that he had. So we find, as we bring ourselves completely up to date this morning, in verse 12, the king's agents were called. They could not answer, so he called forth on his mother's encouragement, the queen. He called forth Daniel, and Daniel was brought before him. And we find that Daniel at this time, when he came before Belshazzar, was not a young man as he was when he ministered the truth to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was an old man, probably 85, maybe 95 years old at this time. As I thought about that, and I thought about my age, 80 years old, actually 81 years old, I was impressed with Daniel. I feel like, in my own case, that I can't do all that I did before, physically. And I know I've heard, talked with some of the guys around here in the church that are around my age group. Of course, none of us in my age group do as the man there in the back with the bandage on his foot. We don't try to jump up and down, do crunches, and then jump up and down while carrying 80 pounds of weight on our back, because that breaks your feet. But Terry will recover, I'm sure. But we find that Daniel was not diminished in his eagerness to serve the Lord. Sometimes men wear out. God never has an expiration code or a date on those who serve Him. He is able to work through us old men. And we find that's the case here when Daniel was brought before Belshazzar. And Belshazzar thought he would make an impression upon Daniel. And he would play the part maybe of a man who maybe wasn't completely familiar with who Daniel was. And so he tells a lie to Daniel in verse 16. And he says, I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet. And he said, I'll make you third ruler in the country if you can do that. And Daniel then tells Belshazzar, when he offered money to him, he said, you keep your gifts. He said, let thy gifts be to thyself and give rewards to another. Yet I will read the writings unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. Verse 18, we find here, O thou king, Daniel speaking, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. We find Daniel did not say, boy, are you a great man, Belshazzar. You are a strong king. You've earned this all on your own. Daniel didn't say that. Daniel said, nobody. Nobody has success unless the God enables them to be there. Basically, that's what he said. And in 19, he goes on and he says, for the majesty that he gave him, Nebuchadnezzar, he's speaking to Belshazzar, all people, nations, languages, all these people trembled before him. All these people gave obedience unto what he had to say. When we find here in the root cause of the problem in Daniel's day, in Belshazzar's case, in Nebuchadnezzar's case, and I would dare to say in each one of our cases today, here's the problem spelled out in verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel is speaking, and his mind hardened in pride. You see, there is that little five-letter word that causes so much problems in the world today. So many problems in local churches. So many problems in the workplace. Pride. His mind hardened in pride. He was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took glory from him. Pride has always been the problem, always will be the problem in man's heart. People are driven by pride, the need to be recognized. We find here in verse 23, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. The verse previous to that, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this. Basically, Daniel was saying, Belshazzar, you lie. You lie. You acted like you didn't know who I was. And you've not humbled thine heart. Even though you know all this about your grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, you've not learned the lesson of experience. Daniel was using plain words, I'm sure offensive words, to Belshazzar as he stood before him. Daniel, as a young man, stood up to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel had not moved from that mode of operation, being truthful, standing strong, and Daniel's plain words, thou knowest all of this. Verse 23, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. Then was the part of the hand sent from him. God sent it, and this writing is written. Verse 25, and this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, meaning the kingdom has been numbered and finished and is going to be taken away from you. This was not some prophecy of some future event that would take place that very night. Tekel, or Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance, is what that means. And you're found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. How would you feel, even in a sober state, not inebriated, if you saw a hand, a man's hand writing on the wall? Fear, I'm sure, we would experience even today. Belshazzar was not only fearful, he was resigned to what the proclamation on the wall meant to him. No wonder Belshazzar's knees smote one to another. No wonder he made urgent appeals to his advisors to interpret the writings. No wonder Daniel was called. And as we see this great man of God standing before this great monarch, a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, the one who, at his time in history, ruled the entire world, Daniel was called. Daniel was faithful to God's calling on his life. And as we see this great man of God standing before Belshazzar, we have to admire and respect and remember with fondness what total commitment to God of heaven Daniel had. And what an example we have to follow. Daniel was God's choicest vessel during this time in history. He was clean. He never defiled himself. Even the Gentiles recognized that the Spirit of God rested on Daniel. As I said, he was somewhere between 85, 95 years old. Could have been 5 years younger, one way or the other. Have you ever thought about it? Are you too old? Am I too old to serve the Lord today? Daniel never retired from serving the Lord. And I would suggest to you this morning, as we look at things that we feel like God would have us do here in our little church, composed of many people who are beyond what we would call the energetic age, God has never given us a date limit of when we should stop serving Him. Daniel never retired. We ourselves should serve God in season and out of season. The prophet Daniel was true to his calling. He was faithful to his commitment as he gave the message of God unto Belshazzar, as he had done earlier to Nebuchadnezzar. This interpretation that he gave was not an optimistic one. The king had never, ever been spoken to with such plainness before. The king had never expected that it would be final as it wound up being. The king had been found weighed in the balances and found wanting. He did not measure up to the standard that God had for a king. God had numbered his kingdom and finished it. God had numbered Belshazzar's day, age, and he was going to finish it. Daniel was faithful. Daniel was once again raised to another level of influence in the kingdom of Belshazzar and the kingdom of the following Medes and Persians. The kingdom was already out of Belshazzar's control. God had made the shift in who would rule the kingdom. The arms and breast of silver that we read about in Nebuchadnezzar's dream were to take over the kingdom of gold that Nebuchadnezzar built to himself. We studied that. God is never fooled by our excuses nor our reluctance. God has a work for each one of us, His children, to do. We read in Daniel chapter 5, verse 30, "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain." That very night, before the articles of worship, Jewish worship, were taken down, washed, and put away, Belshazzar was dead. And Darius, the Mede, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. The Mede and Persians didn't destroy Babylon. They captured it. God captured it and handed it over to the Mede and Persians. While Belshazzar wined and dined, the armies of the Medes were far north in the city, digging a new bed for the Euphrates River. When it was completed, the old channel was stopped. And the water continued on, flowing through the new channel that they had dug. It was only a matter of time when the Medes and Persians marched through under the gates on the the wall of the city. They marched under it, destroyed the other gates that were in their way, and they continued on to capture the city. It's only a matter of time that Belshazzar had left in this world. There had been much trouble over this new king who took over, Darius. Some people, authorities, and historians have stated that there were several Dariuses mentioned in history. But if we look at history, we find that he was not a Persian. He was a Mede. He looked up the history of Medes. And when we look up the history of Medes, we find that this man, Darius, who headed the new government, whose capital was now the same city that Nebuchadnezzar ruled from, that Belshazzar ruled from, was given to the Medes and the Persians. Not the gold of the image that Nebuchadnezzar built, but the silver replaced the gold. We find today that this Euphrates, River Euphrates, plays into the prophecies of the Word of God in the end times. They dug a new bed for the river, the Medes and Persians did. We find that God's Word says that He will dry up the river Euphrates. We read in Revelation chapter 9, verse 13, and Revelation 16, verse 12, that the kings of the land of the rising sun, east. By the way, what country has as a symbol on their flag a rising sun? China. The kings of the east will come by way of the river Euphrates. By some means, that river is going to be dried up, that mighty Euphrates River. God could dry it up. In fact, we find here lately the river has been dropping in the water level. That could be the way that it's done. Or God might use man to build a dam. In fact, there is a dam across the river Euphrates called the Ataturk Dam. Whatever means God uses, there will be those invade Israel from the land of the rising sun. We find in Revelation, as I gave you, chapter 9, verse 13, and chapter 16, verse 12, that there will be a great number. Revelation describes that. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of man. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number of them. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. This is speaking of that well-known battle that we've heard many times, the Battle of Armageddon. And God has prepared, or will prepare, and I believe is in the process of preparing an invading army of 200 million warriors to invade Israel from China. That's my thoughts. That's what I see. Not going to say that it's true in every detail, but we can be assured that God is in control. God is going to carry out His purpose, not only for this world, but also for your and my life. And we ought to be attuned to His leading and His directing, and yes, even His correcting. We're never too old to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You so much for Your Word. Father, so many things that we read over and, Father, not pick up on. Father, we acknowledge that to You this morning. Father, how deep your word is. And Father, how available it is to all of us. And Father, we should realize, as Daniel realized, that it's not us that serve you, but Father, you serve through us. Father, may we all be available and be willing to be used of you in whatever way you see fit. Father, we ask for your leadership and your guidance and your blessings upon this church and upon those that are here this morning. We'll give you the honor and praise, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.